It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Hello. You're tuned in to 2A Radio. The biggest, baddest, best, meanest, coolest Second Amendment dedicated radio show in the country. Coast to coast and online. You can always stream at 2aradio.com. Matter of fact, all of the archives are available on the archives page at 2aradio.com. Additionally, you can always get a hold of me through my email address, which is bill@2aradio.com. 2A, not two-way. Some people confuse that as though there's a two-way radio. It's a one-way radio. I'm talking, you're listening, one way. It's two A's and Second Amendment. We don't talk just about the Second Amendment on this show. We talk about all of our rights. We talk about political corruption. We talk about different things that are going on in the country when it comes to guns and rights and, quite honestly, fighting back against tyrannical things that different government officials or, you know, the entire United States Congress might be doing, whatever it is. We talk about it. We talk about, you know, this healthcare overhaul wannabe. We talk about immigration, gun rights, First Amendment rights, and where a lot of people really misinterpret these things. For instance, rights are a guarantee between you and your government. That's what a right is, a guarantee to. It's not a right between you and somebody else. If you want to walk into my house and start talking about some sort of a political diatribe that just comes forth, I can tell you, you know what? Not in my house. I can subvert your First Amendment right to freedom of speech in my house. Who cannot do that is a government official. As well, who cannot do that is a place of a public accommodation. Like, let's say, your favorite super center where you can go in for groceries or your a new belt or pair of shoes. You can't just go into any private establishment that has restrictions on who can come in and come out and do whatever you want with your rights. However, a public accommodation, the open streets, or a business which is open to the general public, that sort of thing, well, those folks really cannot subvert your rights, which is commonly something that happens with only your Second Amendment rights. You may go into a grocery store, which is open to anybody that wants to go in there and spend money. And if you carry a gun, they might say, oh, we don't want you to carry a gun in here. They're now subverting your Second Amendment right. Would they be able to tell you you can't go on your political diatribe in this store? No, they cannot. They'd be violating your rights. That's been proven in many, many court cases. So they don't do it anymore. But yet they're still willing to say you can't bring your gun in here to protect yourself? Okay, you're taking away my right, my inalienable God-given right to self-protection, guaranteed in the Constitution and upheld by the Supreme Court more than once to carry this gun for self-protection. You're telling me I can't do it? Well, then you better provide me a suitable substitute. These are the types of things we talk about here on 2A Radio. All right? So, we've got a hell of a show coming at you today. So, stay tuned. We've got plenty coming. If you'd like to send me any emails or comments on the show, please do. Bill@2aradio.com. We'll be right back right after these words. Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back. And welcome back, everybody. You know, I'm going to talk for just a moment about U.S. Senator Harry Reid, who is the Senate Majority Leader. Total scumbag. I mean, just literally gutter-ridden scumbag from my home state of Nevada. The absolute blight on the entire state. Really, the single thing that Nevada is most ashamed of is Harry Reid. And there's been stuff to be ashamed of before. We've had some pretty scuzzy politicians here and there, and we've had some very good ones. I mean, heck, Paul Laxalt came from Nevada, who was a very good senator. Howard Cannon, not that great of a guy. But we have Harry Reid, which is terrible. We have gaming. We have prostitution. Marijuana's legal now. But the blight on the entire state is just the disgusting way that we have to admit that Harry Reid comes from Nevada. And that is just, it just makes the average Nevadan gag. However, let me give you an idea of how he campaigns, which is why this blight of our entire state's community is still on the Senate. And he narrowly won his 1998 reelection bid to the guy who is our other senator now, John Ensign. He beat John Ensign by 457 votes statewide. I mean, could you imagine how we could have saved this country so much trouble in the last 12 years had we had 458 additional votes for John Ensign? So what he's done is he spent a lot of time in front of a large Hispanic group yesterday, saying that the GOP, the Republicans, are blocking immigration reform. He said that he slammed Republicans for blocking comprehensive immigration reform and told Hispanics they shouldn't be treated differently because their skin is a tone darker than that of America's early European immigrants. He says, I don't know how anyone of Hispanic heritage could be a Republican, okay? That's what Reid said, speaking to Latino supporters whose votes he needs to win re-election in November. He said, do I need to say more? No, you don't need to say more. And I'm glad you asked, because the answer is no. Shut up. It has absolutely nothing to do with the tone of their skin. And Harry Reid knows it. What he's doing is he's playing on their weaknesses. He's playing on their weaknesses. He's basically using the Lynch method, the James Lynch method, of divide and conquer and have everybody after everyone else so we can continue ruling. The Lynch method. Research how James Lynch used to tell slave owners 300 years ago in North America how to keep their slaves in line, how to play everyone off everybody else, and how to not have anyone trust anybody else unless they're in charge. Even when you know the person in charge is not doing anything good for you, they're the only ones you trust and go to. Right? It's a James Lynch method. I saw a movie actually over the weekend that reminded me of the Lynch method. It's called Animal. If you get a chance to watch it, it's got Ving Rhames in it. Ving Rhames plays a guy who is he was convicted of armed robbery and attempted murder. Spent 20 years in prison, and finally, towards the end of his prison sentence, a wiser guy turned him on to what the Lynch method was all about. Also threw in a little Malcolm X related things because it was centered around blacks. So that helped get this guy around too when it comes to this. But the James Lynch method is really what I'm trying to get at. Where it says, get everybody divided and conquered. You know, have different blacks against different blacks. Have different Latinos against different Latinos. Have everybody against the whites, but then have us who are in some sort of power and authority in charge and only trusting us. It's race wars is what it is. And Obama plays that very, very same card. Now, Reid's apparent frustration stems from what he, as Senate Majority Leader, says, the GOP's refusal to support any Democratic plan that includes a path towards U.S. citizenship for 11 million illegal immigrants in the United States. Okay, first of all, there's more like 20 million, right? Not 11, 20. And the reason that the GOP is not behind the Democratic plan, because a Democratic plan includes all forms of extra social programs. Additional social programs. All right, that's what it includes. His sharp attack comes as he faces a tough race against Republican Sharon Angle, who supports Arizona's law cracking down on illegal immigrants, as she should. She argues that the federal government has failed to enforce the laws and stop the stem of people sneaking into the country. In April, Reid promised a rally of Hispanic activists in Vegas that he would deliver comprehensive immigration reform this year, and there would be no excuses for failure. He says, "We're going to do immigration reform just like we did health care reform, which means we're going to screw the system. We are going to use odd parliamentary procedures rather than standards to push this down everybody's throat." Now, after he said that on April 10th, when he got back to Washington, he immediately lost key support from Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who's a total rhino, who wanted Reid to consider energy legislation first before working on immigration. Republicans, Reid said Tuesday when asked what kept him from keeping his promise, he said it was the Republicans. Sure it was. Total scumbag. I mean, most of Nevada is so utterly embarrassed that Harry Reid even exists or mentions Nevada when he speaks. It is just it's just really terrible. It's ugly. We as Nevadans can't stand it. It's just, I don't know. It's like having a child, and your child is a murderer and a rapist, and imagine the son of Sam, right? Are they proud that the son of Sam came from New York, that he's from Brooklyn or Queens, wherever he's from, that he's from New York City? Are they proud of that? Absolutely not. Harry Reid is our son of Sam. I mean, just. And you know what? Very, very intellectually unsound as well. The guy, he's not a very bright guy. He's got handlers. He's smart when it comes to schmoozing. Smart when it comes to really pulling the wool over people's eyes. But when it comes to actually raw intelligence, the guy's really lacking. He's really pretty stupid, in my opinion. My opinion is Harry Reid is stupid. He knows how to work the system to his advantage, but he cannot actually hold an argument on anything. He will not debate. The reason he won't debate? The reason that most Democrats won't debate. They won't actually answer any questions. All they do is somebody will ask him a question. What about immigration reform? You said that you are going to do immigration reform. What is your plan for immigration reform? Tell us exactly what you're talking about. Harry Reid and most Democrats' answer would be, you know what? That is an excellent point. Immigration reform is foundational to our nation getting along as a whole and to welcoming in the immigrants that have come to this country and to provide them an opportunity towards citizenship and to continue working hard for their families and helping to keep America flourishing as they have been, but on a legal status. Thank you for your question. So, what was the answer? There was no answer. And if you say, hey, you didn't answer my question, I most certainly did address your question. I commented on the question that was asked of me. You're right. And again, you didn't answer that. You said addressed and commented. That's just the way these scumbags work. And Harry Reid is the worst. I mean, the worst. I can imagine that after he leaves a banquet hall, they've got to fumigate the stench out of it just because of all this putrid bile that spews forth from his talk hole where he runs his mouth. The Marines would say, running your suck. It's got to just be a disgusting stench when you're done listening to Harry Reid. I can only imagine that the fumigators at the Senate, when they have to clean off his microphone, it's like pig pen of the mouth. You know, Harry Reid is so bad, not just for Nevada. He's horrible for America. It's because of Harry Reid, solely because of Harry Reid, and screwing the system inside the Senate for some special regulation to force Obamacare down our throat that America is going to suffer. He's done it two or three times just in this past calendar year. Everybody out there who feels the same way as me please donate to Sharon Angle so she can beat Harry Reid and we can help save America. One filthy, disgusting pig pen of a senator at a time. Stay tuned, guys. Plenty more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, guys, welcome back, welcome back. You know, there's a whole lot of garbage going on when it comes to police. And here's the thing about it. We're dealing with police, we're dealing with immigrants, all right? That's one of the reasons I started with this whole Harry Reid thing. And when we're dealing with police, we're dealing with immigrants, when do they come together to show that, in fact, it's kind of a combination of affairs between the two that are causing us so much grief? Now, you know where they say the police and law enforcement and talking heads in D.C. are talking about how it's our fault in the United States that there's a bunch of violence in Mexico because there's a bunch of illegal guns going from the U.S. into Mexico and arming the cartels. Well, in fact, in one case, they're actually right. Listen to this. Mark Woodward, of the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics confirmed that the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF, arrested an OBN agent, Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics. They're drug cops. Woodward said the agency is cooperating with federal authorities and will launch its own internal investigation of 29-year-old Francisco Javier Reyes Luna, who goes by his last name Reyes. Reyes is accused of using a false name to buy five AK-47s from Outdoor America, as well as transferring a .50 caliber Barrett rifle to someone who wasn't licensed to own it. You don't need to be licensed to own it, you just need to be legal. Authorities said they believed the guns were making it into the hands of a Mexican drug cartel. Reyes went before a federal judge on Tuesday afternoon and faces three criminal counts of carrying between 5 and 10 years in prison. He was released on $25,000 bond. He'll be back in federal court in 3 weeks. Now, the news contacted the ATF and was told that they have no comment at this time. Of course not. They're investigating somebody who's kind of one of their own, but we'll see. In its mission statement, the ATF calls itself a unique law enforcement agency under the U.S. Department of Justice that, in part, protects communities from violent criminals, criminal organizations, and illegal use and trafficking of firearms. According to ATF, it's just a bunch of garbage that they have to say. Let's see, the ATF website states that they include efforts to stem the flow of firearms into Mexico, which they state contributes to the violence among drug cartels. So, of course, and now we've got Francisco Javier Reyes Luna, a cop, a narcotics cop in Oklahoma, doing his best to get guns back to his motherland of Mexico. And I'm only imagining his motherland is Mexico based on his name. I could be absolutely trying to, I could just end up inadvertently stereotyping this guy and profiling. When did the word profile become a dirty word? You say profile, you may as well drop the F-bomb, right? Profile. It's called criminal profiling. And this guy's a criminal. How do I criminally profile this guy? Quite honestly, it's more likely that he breaks the law on a much more common and larger basis than the average citizen because he's a cop. That's right, I said it. It's easier to talk about when someone breaks the law more commonly than others, violates other people's rights, and gets away with it. Continuing to break the law. Who is it? More often than not, higher percentage than most, a cop. Just the way it is. And it's not the individual cops that are really so much to blame. It is to a point if they're really bad. But oftentimes, it's simply the police environment which is created that says, this is what we do, this is how we do it, welcome into the fold, let me show you how it's done, this is what we're going to do. Why do we do it that way? Because everybody before us did it that way too. And we're too lunk-headed to change and do it right. You know, I actually have gotten my hands on a copy of the radio traffic involving the Eric Scott Las Vegas Metro Police homicide, where three Las Vegas cops shot and killed Eric Scott. Shot him 7 times, reportedly 5 of those shots in his back. Cowards. I happen to have a copy of the radio traffic from Las Vegas Metro. It's about 30 minutes long. I'm editing it down because there's a lot of pauses and garbage. There's even one point in time where there's about 45 seconds worth of a squeal across the radio because someone's trying to communicate something and their radio isn't plugged in properly. I have to edit all that down and get it down to a decent time sequence so I can replay it for you. And I expect to have that for you tomorrow or Friday. But that's going to come down. You'll actually hear the radio traffic, and I'm happy to bring that to you. We're going to be getting into in the next segment about a Williamson County, Illinois, Marion police officer who's sentenced to 20 weekends in jail. And a man who was charged by cops in Connecticut after talking about the gun-laden homicidal maniac that went through last week. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back after these words. This is your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Somebody get a silencer for this guy. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Guys, welcome back, welcome back. Now, we're going to talk about a cop named Dustin G. Whitehead, 28 years old, out of Williamson County, Marion, Illinois police officer. He was sentenced, we're going to get to the sentence shortly, and he admitted that on August 14th, 2009, just a year ago, while serving as a police officer for the city of Marion, he willfully and without legal justification kicked an arrested person 2 times, despite the fact that the person's hands were cuffed behind his back as he sat in the back seat of a police car. So here's a guy, he's arrested, cuffed, sitting in the back of a police car, and this thug takes the boot to him a couple of times. He also admitted that he lied under oath on January 6, 2010, to a hearing officer from the State of Illinois Department of Employment Security during his appeal over the loss of his unemployment benefits. Whitehead appealed a decision denying him unemployment benefits after he was put on administrative leave without pay by the Marion Police Department following the incident. During that hearing, he falsely claimed under oath that he had not struck the victim in the case and that there was no proof. See, what he's doing is he's using the same thing a lot of scumbag, just lousy people do. If you can't prove it, I'm not going to admit it. And that just comes from everybody learning about how lawyers work, right? If you can't prove it, it's inadmissible. You just can't do it. Now, he pled guilty on April 26, 2010 as part of his plea agreement to immediately resign his position as a police officer for the city of Marion, which means now he can apply for another position because he resigned, is that right? And to refrain from ever seeking or accepting employment as a police officer, jailer, correctional officer, military police officer, deputy sheriff. Excellent. They just made a bad choice, was the bottom line. He made a bad choice, was the bottom line, according to somebody from the police department. Now, to tell you what he got for this, he was sentenced to 20 weekends, Saturday, Sunday, in jail for deprivation of rights under the color of law. And that happened in the United States District Court for the Southern District of Illinois just last Thursday. It was part of a four-year sentence of probation where he is also required to perform 50 hours of public service and pay a fine of $2,000. Wow. 20 weekends, 50 hours, $2,000 fine, and 4 years probation. And he lost his job and can't get another job as a cop. I have to say, as hard as they could have dropped the hammer on this guy, or as light as they could have taken the complaint, you know what, you want to complain on this? Shut up, we're not going to listen. I have to say, although I would have liked to see more out of this deal, I applaud what happened. I applaud it, starting with Marion, Illinois PD, who, when they realized there was an investigation into this and there was some real-life substance to it, they put him on administrative leave without pay. Without pay. Now, the way this works is, if you are vindicated, and say they put you on leave without pay and you're off work for 2 or 3 months, when you come back and you are vindicated, it shows that, you know, you didn't do anything wrong, you get all of your back pay. So, if you're on administrative leave with pay, and they see there's a problem, then they can you 2 or 3 or 4 months later. They don't get any of that money back. You got it. So he had filed for unemployment, and I'm glad he didn't get it. He shouldn't have gotten it. He didn't deserve it. In the long run, you put him on administrative leave without pay. And then he lies under, oh, no, I didn't do it. There's no proof. I didn't do it, and you can't prove it. Seriously? Wow. Well, he got bitten by that one. So, that's what I'm digging. Now, this is 2A rated. We're talking about Second Amendment rights. I also love to talk about First Amendment rights. A man was charged after exercising his First Amendment rights and having an opinion. This is out of New Haven, Connecticut. You remember last week in Connecticut, some guy was fired from a beer distribution plant and killed, I believe it was 9 people. Connecticut police say they arrested a man at a management company after he mentioned the shooting rampage across the state that killed 9 people and by saying that he understood the killer's mindset. That's all he did. He was arrested for that. 58-year-old Francis Lakowski of Derby, Connecticut, was charged with breach of peace Wednesday after making the comment while working at Fusco Management Company in New Haven, Connecticut. 9 people died in the shootings Tuesday at Hartford Distributors in Manchester, including the gunman Omar Thornton. Thornton told police in a 911 call that he wanted to avenge racial discrimination, alleging that company officials, an allegation that company officials denied. Lakowski told the Associated Press that his comments were blown out of proportion. He said his arrest was ridiculous. He didn't make any threats. Ledowski posted bail and is due in New Haven Superior Court, well, I guess yesterday officially. Be interesting to find out how that went. So all he's saying is, if this guy says that it was racial discrimination, I can understand his mindset. He was charged with breach of peace. Let me tell you how that happens. He says something and people don't like hearing it. Someone calls the cops. The cops aren't happy with it, and they don't like this guy. So what can they charge him with? It's a P.O.P. Pissing off the police. That's the charge. So the charge he came up with was breach of peace. It is my absolute hope and desire that this guy pushes it. I mean, Ledowski, I got to tell you, to say those sorts of things at work in the same state that this happened, just a day or two after this went on, is really a pretty poor decision on your part. Very, very poor decision on your part. However, you have a right, an actual honest-to-God right, to do it. So, to charge you with breach of peace for exercising a right is not something that can be done. And I hope to God that you fight this. Because whoever's charging you with breach of peace, it was either citizen's arrest by someone you work with, and they charge you with breach of peace, well, you can get them hammered. Or it was the cops that came in and did it. If the cops that came in and did it, they're all liable. From the cops who did it up to their supervisors who allowed it to go through. Now, I am imagining that the district attorney's office will look at this and say, yeah, you know what, guys, you might have arrested him, you might have charged him, you might have booked him on this, but there's no way in the world that we as the district attorneys can charge him for exercising his First Amendment right. And something tells me that there ought to be a memo going out saying, don't do that. Now, if this guy was able to articulate himself a little better, he probably could have gotten out of the whole thing. The cop showed up and said, no, wait a minute. I exercised a First Amendment right, which is a right between me and my government. If the people don't like it, that's okay. I don't have a right. I don't have a right to force them to listen to everything I say. They can leave the room or just not pay attention. But when you come as an agent of the government. In this case, an agent of the state government or the local government, whatever it is, as a cop. My right is to be able to say what I want, when I want. And you cannot charge me with a crime for exercising a First Amendment right. So breach of peace, you cannot charge me with after having spoken. Can't work that way. And if you do that, realize you're going to be up on civil rights violations. It's not even civil rights violations, although they call it. It's inalienable rights violations, but they lump them into civil rights to try to make all of us 14th Amendment citizens. So, I'm hoping that he comes through that one, even though he is a bit of a jackass for saying that at work, freshly in the minds of everybody, in the same small state of Connecticut where the thing happened. You know, I was in Connecticut, just to sidetrack, one time ever. And that was 10 years ago this month. 10 years ago this month, I was in Connecticut, and what a beautiful state. I flew in. I was there for a matter of hours, actually. At the time, I lived in northern Nevada in a little town called Fallon. Fallon is about an hour east of Reno, Nevada. And Fallon is a nice little town. It's where they have the Fallon Naval Air Station, or Fallon NAS, which is the home to what is now the Top Gun Fighter School, aircraft fighting school. Where it used to be in Miramar, California. It moved out to Fallon about 12 or 13 years ago after they closed Miramar. Anyhow, I did several things when I was there. At one point in time, the last thing I did, I owned my own sign shop where I made signs and did screen printing and things such as that. And years before that, when I was managing a sign making and screen printing operation, nearly 10 years before, around 91 or 92, I had read an article in a publication about a guy on the East Coast back in Jersey that needed an install rig. And rather than spending $15,000 on a used bucket truck that didn't work very well, he spent $5,000 $4,000 or $5,000 on a used fire truck, a big ladder truck, that had a lot more storage, a lot more capability and capacity than the bucket truck, for far less money and a whole lot more notoriety because it's a cool old fire truck. So I told myself, you know, if I ever own my own sign shop and I need an install rig, that's what I'm going to do. So sure enough, I end up with my own sign shop and I need an install rig. I've got a couple of jobs where more and more jobs where I need an install truck. So, you know, you can't just go out and rent an install truck. You're not going to go to the competitors and borrow an install truck. You need an install rig. So I looked online and I found this fire truck that was all the way back in Connecticut that was gorgeous. So I made a deal on it on the phone, flew out there, and spent 7 days driving it back all the way across Interstate 80 in this 1953 Maxim with a 75-foot aerial ladder on it. My daughter, who was about 10 at the time, my eldest, and my mother-in-law, she wanted to go as well. They went with. We flew back there, got in the truck, drove back. Neat trip. At one point in time, I was up longer than I've ever been awake in my entire life in one stretch, 76 hours. It was hellacious. I was loopy afterwards and out of my mind. Tried to drive mostly at night and keep the daytime for relaxing because it was an open cab fire truck. It cruised at 47 miles an hour and got about 3.5-4 miles to the gallon. With a 30-gallon tank, that means every 100 miles or 2 hours, we were stopping and putting 30 gallons worth of gasoline back into the thing. So it was a neat trip, but difficult nonetheless. But that was my experience in Connecticut. I just decided to throw that out there to throw in a little bit of time and tell you something about me. An Ottawa Hills police officer is out of jail after he was sentenced to 10 years behind bars. This is Officer Thomas White. He left the Lucas County Jail Monday after posting a $100,000 cash bond. Where's a cop come up with this money? White is convicted of felonious assault with a firearm specification. 1 year ago, dash cam video showed the Ottawa Hills officer shooting a motorcyclist by the name of Mike McCloskey in the back. McCloskey, now 25, is paralyzed as a result. He feels Officer White is unremorseful for his actions. He says, quote, I didn't see it in his eyes. I think his statement said it all. In court, White did not apologize. He said he did his job. He said he will continue to look himself in the mirror and know he did the right thing. He says, quote, I recognize that Mr. McCloskey's injuries are unfortunate, but I did what I was required to do. White's contending the firearm specification of his sentence, which carries a mandatory 3-year sentence. His attorney argues, since he's a police officer, firearms comes with the job. He says, quote, they're required to carry a gun in the state of Ohio, and he would have been violating the law if he hadn't had a gun, according to his attorney, Mark Dieters. White's team is mounting an appeal. While the appeal makes its way through the legal system, White is out of jail. The court granted him an appeals bond, a rare type of bond that the prosecutor said he's against. He says, quote, he's a convicted felon. He should be treated like every other convicted felon, according to the prosecuting attorney, Jeff Lingo. After posting a $100,000 cash bond, hours after hearing his 10-year sentence, White walked away. If he wins his appeal, he won't go back to jail. If he loses, he will. The appeals process could take months or even years. McCloskey, the victim, says ultimately he's confident the sentence will stand. Now, he's out on a $100,000 cash bond. I'm thinking that McCloskey should sue him in civil court to gain that $100,000 cash bond. There's the $100,000. I'm in a wheelchair for the rest of my life because this scumbag shot me in the back. I've seen the video, guys. You can go to the video and see. It's terrible. It's another example of how the police just envelop their own into this, really, it's a criminal mindset. And it's a thug mentality. Stay tuned, folks. Plenty more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. Time is right.
The American Dream, founded by men of honor, men of a creed once shared by most, and now all but forgotten. Men who risked their lives and perpetrated the most egregious acts of treason in history to create the United States of America. The Founding Fathers recognized that tyranny reigns over unarmed men, and they vowed to never allow that to happen here in the United States of America. Politicians of a lesser ilk have tried to subvert the right to self-protection, to protect your family and property. Until now, announcing America's Victory Shoots, the largest patriotic shooting event in generations, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision in McDonald versus Chicago, restoring the rights of all Americans across the land, from sea to shining sea, right in the backyard of Chicago itself. America's Victory Shoot is for Americans who share the creed of our founding fathers. Join your countrymen in a celebratory weekend of shooting events and training for the protection of you and your family at the patriotic event of a generation. There's limited space, so go to victoryshoot.org to find out more and sign up today. As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Guys, we really need to be careful of the politicians out there that try to subvert our rights, and as well as the thugs behind the badge that would otherwise not want to recognize your rights and tell you that we want to squash your rights. When I play the tapes from Las Vegas Metro State, now they didn't, here's the deal. Las Vegas Metro didn't release the radio tapes from their communication. There's an organization out there that records every available police channel in the country for things like this. They're the ones who release this off their recordings. And I have to applaud them for doing it, because Las Vegas Metro, they never release their stuff until after the coroner's inquest. But this is finally out. I'll have that edited down and played for you tomorrow, Friday. And you're going to hear the radio communication going to the Eric Scott homicide. And it's interesting the way it comes out. It would give an impression, the way that the call comes out, the way that the employee who's on the phone with the cops gives the information to the 911 dispatcher, the way the 911 dispatcher gives it to the police dispatcher, and the way the police dispatcher disseminates it, the cops are thinking, wow, this could turn into an active shooter situation, right? So nothing is actually wrong. Nothing has gotten to the point of what's called a priority zero call, which means a felony in progress. Felony in progress means you can roll code. There was nothing based on the radio communications that said there was a felony in progress. However, almost all of the cops from one entire area command are rolling code to get there, because an employee didn't like Eric Scott checking water bottles, you know, drinking bottles, to see if they would fit into his pack, and saw that he had a gun tucked into his waistband, carrying concealed, because he was up, down, moving around, grabbing stuff, whatever it was. So these cops are rolling code, setting up a command post. Before they even get there, they're trying to set up a command post. They're getting the watch commander, and all of this before they ever even make contact directly with anybody at the store. They were expecting blood. Now, cops will subvert your rights every day of the week. And when they do, I hope to God that you fight them. I really, honest to God, do. If you find a cop that respects your rights, I hope that you thank them. I hope that you thank them. You write a letter. You write a letter to the police chief or sheriff, and you tell them, thank you, this officer respects my rights. Something we should do. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely
as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com. I will not.